Imagine two people who deeply love each other, yet find themselves locked in patterns of misunderstanding and hostility. This paradox lies at the heart of relationship struggles. Love alone isn't enough. What's happening beneath the surface is a cognitive battle where our interpretations matter more than the actions themselves. When Karen excitedly shares news about winning a contract and her husband Ted seems distant, she thinks, "He doesn't care about my success." While Ted, dealing with his own career setback, believes, "She's only interested in her career." Neither perception is accurate, yet both trigger emotional cascades that damage their connection. This pattern reveals a profound truth. We never truly know another's mind. We interpret ambiguous signals through our own potentially flawed coding systems, remaining stubbornly confident in our interpretations despite contradictory evidence. These misinterpretations create a dangerous cycle. Once we attach meaning to an event, we accept it without verification, allowing simple misunderstandings to escalate into full-blown conflicts that feel impossible to resolve. What transforms infatuation into disappointment? This journey stems from changing perspectives, not personalities. Infatuation creates psychological tunnel vision. We see only positive attributes while filtering out negatives, serving a crucial bonding function. During this phase, even unpleasant behaviors get reinterpreted positively. Marjorie saw Ken's anger as proof of passionate love. Our brains actively resist negative evaluations of our partner. Disillusionment begins when dormant expectations surface after commitment. Ted silently expected Karen to always support him, be punctual, follow his logical approach, and remain constantly reachable, expectations never articulated because he considered them normal. When these unspoken expectations aren't met, our perception reverses, and imagined virtues transform into perceived vices. The good news? This black-and-white thinking distorts reality, but can be corrected. Relationships improve when couples learn to see each other more reasonably and develop better communication skills. Relationship conflicts often stem from fundamental personality differences. The autonomous person sees help offers as put-downs, while the dependent person views them as caring. Karen valued self-sufficiency, while Ted feared abandonment. When she kept him waiting, his fears triggered anger rather than relief at her arrival. These differences become destructive through framing. In healthy relationships, our perspectives remain open. We adjust our image of our partner with new information. In troubled relationships, we develop closed perspectives that are fixed and self-centered, making it impossible to understand our partner's viewpoint. Over time, negative perspectives become entrenched, transforming how we see each other. The once loving face appears hateful. Attraction turns to distaste. These frames create a self-reinforcing cycle as we notice confirming evidence while ignoring contradictions. Progress requires recognizing that conflicts stem from perspective differences, not malice. Understanding that clashing traits aren't inherently bad. Accepting that different perspectives aren't about right or wrong. And reframing our view of each other more positively. Have you ever felt angry at your partner without knowing exactly why? The answer often lies in unspoken expectations. When Max attended a medical convention while Sybil stayed home with sick children, their expectations clashed. She wanted him to offer to come home, while he believed she should ask directly if needed. Without articulating these expectations, they attributed negative qualities to each other. Max became selfish to Sybil, while she became demanding to him. Their conflict stemmed from different marriage visions. Sybil expected Max to anticipate her needs, while Max expected direct communication. When expectations aren't met, wishes transform into demands, replacing would with should. These unspoken rules become binding obligations, with violations triggering anger rather than disappointment. The problem is these rules seem universal to their creator, but arbitrary to their partner. Most troubling is the belief that partners should instinctively know what's wanted without being told. Karen felt hurt when Ted didn't offer household help, though she never asked, believing her need was obvious. This creates control systems of shoulds that damage relationships by restricting spontaneity and creating constant disappointment.
Even articulate couples struggle to communicate effectively. Clear communication enables joint decision-making, while ambiguity undermines it. Yet many use vague language with partners while assuming perfect understanding. Effective communication requires both clear speaking and genuine listening. Research shows unhappily married couples interpret their partner's messages less accurately than happily married ones, though they understand strangers well, indicating problems stem from relationship dynamics, not general inability. Different conversational styles often cause friction. When one partner pauses longer between sentences, the other might perceive an invitation to speak, creating perceived interruptions. Men and women typically communicate differently. Women ask more questions and provide more feedback, while men offer fewer acknowledgments, mainly indicating agreement rather than active listening. These differences develop during childhood. Girls form friendships through conversation, sharing speaking time. Boys interact in larger groups, focused on status, using words to establish position. Girls learn to use words as bridges, while boys often use them as weapons, creating fundamental communication differences that persist into adult relationships.
Why would a wife become angry when her husband comes home early? Why would a husband grow annoyed when his wife returns his library books? The answer lies in automatic thoughts, fleeting interpretations that assign neutral behaviors. These thoughts operate at the fringe of consciousness, powerfully influencing our reactions while remaining difficult to identify. The wife might think, "Is he trying to check up on me?" The husband might think, "She's trying to show me up." Behind angry reactions lie deeper threat thoughts about criticism or inadequacy that quickly transform into indignation. When Martin was offended by Melanie changing subjects, his automatic thought, "She isn't interested in what I say," triggered sadness, which he masked with anger. Many relationship doubts stem from rules absorbed from our parents. When partners fall short of these internalized standards, we feel angry. When we fail to meet them ourselves, we feel guilt. Wendy internalized her mother's belief that the role of a wife is to take care of her husband, while Hal absorbed his father's perfectionism, creating a minefield of unspoken expectations. While love fluctuates, relationships require commitment, loyalty, and trust. Cooperation means working together despite self-serving bias, negotiating divergent interests for stability. Trust means believing your partner has your best interests at heart, wouldn't intentionally harm you, and will be available when needed. A constructive approach is assuming good intentions despite hurtful actions. This perspective shift helps find benign explanations for seemingly mean behaviors. Struggling couples often forget what they once liked about each other. In therapy, Karen and Ted focused on recapturing what they found endearing. Ted's gesture of calling Karen's ill mother unlocked forgotten warm feelings, showing he could sense and respond to her needs. Healing begins with awareness, noticing positive behaviors already present in your relationship. These acknowledgments create a foundation for rebuilding trust. Love combined with understanding, communication, and willingness to see beyond our distortions becomes the most powerful force for relationship transformation.